Hello. Thanks for coming back. Episode 4. We're dressed very differently.
Yeah. I feel like this is the type of, you know, when you see that one guy turn up in a GA, you know, in Ireland to a funeral in a GA top, and everybody goes, "How fucking
how dare you?"
Yeah. Does that count? Does he owe the dead man money? Does the dead man owe money or something? Just like absolute shit, nothing.
And this is a fake top.
This is a fake top, my friend Troy.
Good fake top.
He goes, he was in Kenya, and he was like, I've got a guy here, do you want an Arsenal top? It's, I was like, I don't, like, I have Arsenal tops. And he goes, they're class. It's like £2. And I'll go, all right, go for it. He goes, do you want the Champions League? Do you want the Champions League stickers, you know, and all this? He goes, do you want to know racism? And I was like, absolutely, especially if you met it now. Unbelievable. Visit Rwanda. I'm in. It was before we qualified too for the Champions League.
Have you put it through the wash yet?
Aye.
Is it all right?
It's
that's amazing.
What do you get here? It's very different than the fake shirts that you got in back in the day.
Yeah.
You know, where Zidane was written on the back in crayon or something. Yeah. You're like, don't put anything on it. If it's going to look like that, don't put anything on it.
Yeah.
It was just like a old Fred Perry polo shirt. And someone sewed the Real Madrid.
It blows my mind though that... Do you reckon so that, like, guys in Kenya just pumping them out?
Yeah, it must be, yeah.
So, but is that any football top?
I don't know.
Because they must have to update.
I don't know.
So when the Premiership restarts again, do they have to gain a new set of...
Yeah, well, it must be. I mean, like, this was this season's. So, you know, we've got a new one next season. If you see me in the next one in a gold.
So just a wee nod to the Kenyan lad.
I love your work. You've got pride in your work. And I have pride in your work too. Did you ever, you know, you're sad about films and everything, just the thing, you know what a perfect, and this episode is about Face Off, right? But do you not think that, did you ever buy fake DVDs? When you were younger?
I don't think I ever bought them. I got made them. Like,
all right, somebody burned them for you.
You could burn a DVD, but I don't think I ever bought.
Aye.
I remember seeing a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, the very first time that came out. I don't even know when that would be, like mid-90s.
Yeah.
That came out, and it was a proper, somebody had filmed it.
Oh, you see
in
it?
In the cinema.
Great, you see someone taking a piss.
You can see people getting up and down, just a guy getting a wank, and they're like, just like.
I in the Strabane market, there used to be a guy that you'd buy PlayStation games off him. First of all, I bought Spyro the Dragon, a PlayStation game.
You were going to call Spider the Man. Spider Man.
Spider the Man. X the Man. he went and... So this guy, first of all, I bought Spyro one day, and I thought it was part of the game, but someone had reprogrammed the main menu into mad racist stuff against, like, Indian people.
What?
So I turned on Spyro on my PlayStation that I got in Strabane Market, and it was, like, main menu thing, and then there was a roll bar coming across the window. It was like, we need to get all the foreigners out of Northern Ireland. And I was like, hell. I was like, God, I didn't read Spyro. It was... Like, I thought about it, like, 10 years ago. Someone went to the bother of programming this mad racist stuff onto a scroll bar.
Spyro the Dragon as well.
Spyro the Dragon. That's for kids. Like, no, there's nothing. I was like, that's so fucked up.
Jesus.
But anyway, same guy, I don't know if it was him or whoever made his DVDs, but anyway, this guy was selling these DVDs, and he used to stand around about midday, because what happened was... He gets a tip off when the police are coming, like people are watching at the gates, you know, and they're going to raid the market every Sunday, right? So if you stay around long enough, they go, right, he's coming. And he would just go like, all right, kids, take out everything.
So it was a free-for-all, a scramble.
Yeah, as well, like, because they're coming. So he'd be like, go for it. So, like, people would buy it. So, but the problem was he would just sweep stuff into bags. And I remember one day I got home and it was 14 copies of X-Men 2. It wouldn't have time to, like, one of each there. It was just fucking X-Men. I got like 14 copies of X-Men. Well, cheers for that.
Do you remember handing around pornos at school?
No, I think it
DVDs.
Was...
Do you know what? Like, this is proper grim.
Okay.
This is deadly grim, actually. See when before Netflix became Netflix, it was called Love Film. Do you remember this?
No.
So it was Love Film, and what it was you... It wasn't like a streaming service or anything like that. What you would do is... It was still a website, and you would go on, and they'd have everything. And you'd have a wish list.
Okay.
And you'd put them in order of preference of when you wanted to watch it, right? So you'd be like, all right, I want to see X-Men 2 first. I really want to see that film. So that'd be a top of your wish list. And they only had so many DVDs. And what they would do is they'd post them out to you in an envelope. It was like a wee DVD-sized envelope. You'd post it out. And if you folded back the envelope, you got the return envelope to send it back.
Okay. Right?
So you could I think you could keep it as long as you wanted. But obviously, if you want to see the next film, you had to post it. You could only have like four out at the same time. So if you wanted to see new shit, you had to. So when I was at uni, right, I discovered that there was a porn section of it.
Okay. Oh, right? My God. There's a porn.
There was a porn section of it, right? And I used to, I had a setup in my flat at uni where what I was doing was I was getting the Love Films, but it was going in a DVD player, but I then connected that up to a video recorder, like a VCR. So I was essentially just pirating the films onto.
And it would dip
in quality quite substantially because it was going from one medium to another.
So I
literally had... Like, my entire wish list was just porns.
That's
at one point.
That's so funny.
And then handing them out to people at uni. And like, but it was like British gonzo porn. Like,
oh, no.
Bend over and shit. Like, oh, the God. Grimmest fucking stuff you can remember. Oh, God.
That's so funny.
It was so horrible.
That's how you paid your way through college.
It was so horrible. That's what Netflix, Love Film is what, because they even had the same kind of, it was definitely the same colouring, the same kind of logo.
Yeah, you would tell.
As well,
you
like
could
that.
Tell, yeah.
But, oh, fucking Jesus.
That's so fucking
grim,
funny.
Grim.
No, like, when I was in college, it was just on the laptop like it is now.
I see, you don't know you're born.
You don't know nothing.
I had to set up a pirating network.
I remember once buying, the only time I have anything like that was, I remember when I was about 13, 14 maybe, I remember in school, it was my turn to try, I was buying like Nuts magazine, and how I tried to do it, I remember was... hiding it amongst the Sunday Times. There's this 14-year-old
the broadsheets,
an abnormally heavy Sunday Times going like that, and then I remember the old woman just went, dude, here.
Walk her up with the Financial Times going, I've got to check my investments. You're 12 for the fucking...
Johnny Blaggett. Fuck me, did you see the Dow Jones today? What's this? Did that come free with the... Does that come free with... I'll take it, I mean.
Oh, God.
Remember that. Mortifying.
Oh, man.
Love Film. Sounds great. A porn bootlegger.
We went... I was going to tell you this before we start the film. Because it's film related. We went to a James Bond themed fancy dress party on Saturday. And it was like loosely... Basically, I've realised, because I've been a couple of these James Bond things, because I love Bond a lot. And it basically, when someone has a James Bond theme party, what they mean is, can everyone dress nice and fancy? Which I think is a fucking joke. So
everyone just means tuxedos.
Yeah, but I went as, so me, because it was a family one, and me and my son, we went as Scaramanga and Knick Knack.
Great.
Because for some reason, my son is obsessed with dwarfs. Genuinely obsessed with dwarfs. He thinks...
Sees idea, man.
It, like, bizarrely... So he was fucking delighted at this. So I'd managed to find a cream suit, and I'd bought a plastic golden gun. And because I said to my wife, and I was like... She was like, well, how the hell are you going to get all this costume? And literally 20 minutes on Amazon, and I had us both decked out to fuck. It was like golden gun, straight there. Got him a bowler hat. Got him white snooker referee gloves.
Great, perfect. I saw the picture.
A jacket with tails. He had a white shirt anyway, and I drew a wee moustache on him. And
bingo.
Fucking brilliant. But again, we went to it, and we were one of the... There was a guy came as Jaws.
Good. A guy had someone bought, there.
Like a guy, he was... Because I was well impressed, because he came with like a white shirt on, black braces, and he had the silver teeth. And I was asking, I was like, where did you get your teeth? And he bought them. It's like a 60-year-old guy. He bought them from this place called Hip Hop Grills. And he basically brought these fucking metallic teeth. Hip Hop Grills. Metallic teeth from a website. It was just for wannabe gangsters. And he's like...
Didn't you think young people were up to me? Oh, yeah, I didn't know Little Yachty was in James Bond.
I did it once before. I went to a Halloween party with parents from the kids' school, and I was the only cunt dressed up, and I'd gone as Kim Jong-un.
Oh, my God, right? Yeah.
So I got the black suit, a black shirt, and I'd drawn like a wee North Korean flag on a kind of label and stuck it there, because that's the only thing I could think of. And I'd found black hair dye. It was just spray on stuff I'd got from a joke shop, washed out afterwards. But the way it looked, right, it like, because it was all black, right, and I think I'd put some kind of fake tan on, right. And I genuinely didn't, but it looked like I'd done the eyes as well. It's the only... It's
like an optical illusion. I didn't tape nothing back.
It's the only photo I've ever deleted off social media, because I was like, I can't have that out there.
Yeah, because I wasn't doing it.
And it's I was the only fucker that turned up in anything. So all the kids are dressed up. The only adult. So there's adults that I've never even met coming in looking at me. First of all, nobody knows who the fuck I am, right? Like, because I was drawing the North Korean flag from memory. Like, on the bus on the way back up from a gig, right? With felt tip pens that I'd bought at a service station. No. So I don't even know if it's correct. But somebody asked if I was Michael McIntyre.
Korean Michael.
I felt like such a...
That's so fucking good. I think if I went to a James Bond dress-up thing, I'd just go as like a dog. One of the dogs from Moonraker.
Where it tears Lassie apart in the woods. That's a horrific scene. For such a stupid film, it's a horrific scene.
They let the dogs in. They're like absolute ripper to pieces.
And it's done to like orchestral music as well.
I had a tape of Moonraker. I don't know. I don't know why. Not that I don't know why, but, you know.
Well, right, this week's film, your choice.
It's an exciting one. It is the wonderful, the fantastic Face-Off. I'm pretty sure I might be wrong in this. It's probably, in my opinion, probably his second best film.
Nicolas Cage's or John Travolta's?
John Woo.
Or John Woo.
The director, John Woo. Now,
so...
Because I'm not sure, I might be wrong this, but I'm pretty sure this is like one of his first English-speaking movies. This is his first,
it probably would be,
his first Hollywood go, and man, he smashed it.
Because he did Mission Impossible 2 after this. Oh yeah, that was largely shite.
That wasn't great. No. Yeah. You know, that wasn't great. I loved Hard Boiled. That was always one of my favourite films. But
so do you reckon that's his number one?
I always thought that. And then this afterwards. Mind you, I mean, it's hard to go, this is a second, because you'd make... Because this is so enjoyable. I just love Hard Boiled. Like, I mean, this is probably a more entertaining film. Definitely, like, you know.
I haven't seen this film in years. And the two times I watched it since you said we were going to do it, I love, like, I've never enjoyed such a ridiculous film more. I fucking loved every single second of it.
He does it. They do it right, though. Like, I know it's ridiculous and all that, and knows what it is. And, you know, back in them days, you couldn't probably. But, you know what I mean? Like, Fast and the Furious is trying to do it, and they're not doing it right. They do it sometimes kind of enjoyable, ridiculous shit. This is top tier. He didn't hold back in any of the tackiness. No. Like, I mean, even at the start, it starts off with, like, in the fucking whatever, the playground.
It's the grimmest opening scene I've ever seen in a film. It is genuinely dark, beyond belief.
It's a perfect intro. I mean, like, you know, it sets it up quite immediately. I love the fact, though, he shoots. So if you don't know, like, he shoots him, and he's holding his son, basically, and the bullet goes through him and hits the son and kills the son. But, like, I was just like, why didn't he not just reload and shit?
I know.
He was in there like open line and thing, like, reload, man.
Yeah. And why's he got a moustache? He's got a real fucking...
It's such a tacky way. It just went, well, just so you know, this is years ago. That's such a shite way. That's like something I would do out there. Like, I have 20 minutes to film someone to show it years ago.
He's got a
straw on him. That's so fucking funny.
So, yeah, so he shoots Travolta's son.
Yeah.
And then Travolta basically, his life is obsessed from there on with catching Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
As a revenge.
Yeah.
But Nicolas Cage is like this. I don't even, because I remembered him as being just like for some reason I thought he was like a bank robber or a criminal, but he's like a proper terrorist.
No, he's like
one of the world's biggest terrorists.
Yeah.
For no real reason either. Like, he's not
trying,
like,
to have some fun.
Yes, but he's not like a terrorist that has a cause. He's not like trying to get people freed. He's not fighting against.
Not
he's not
money.
A religious terrorist. He's not. He's just a mad bastard.
Yeah, even
that loves destroying people.
It isn't even for money, because there's parts when he loses money and he's like, ah,
yeah,
it's all part of it.
It's a mad cunt. Like, and right, what I love about it, right, is because I think, for as ridiculous it is, I think Nicolas Cage and Travolta especially, because they only actually play themselves for about 20 minutes, and then the rest of the time
they play each other,
doing impressions of each other.
Yeah.
And
I think if you made me right now to make that film, they would be playing the opposite parts.
You think?
I think they've done it right.
Yeah.
But I think naturally I would have had, I would have had Travolta
as the baddie at the start.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cage is good, but he couldn't really, like, I don't know. I was watching it at the start and I go, it's not a ballsy move. It makes sense now, but I feel like if I was to start off, I would have had them in the different roles from the off. And I would have been wrong.
Why? Because they lived with each other for like a month to get into each other's heads.
Oh, really?
What a fucking flat that would be. Imagine being the third person in that flat share, Travolta and Nicolas Cage every night. Like, Jesus Christ.
It'd be great if they labelled all their foods as well. Can of peas. Cage. Well, I better not fucking go near that shit.
Someone's drunk my milk again, you fuck.
Yeah, the toast pops up and he comes out of the toilet and you're like...
But
instinctively light them up
because they know they've got to play each other. I don't know whether they would film it like this anyway. But like, I think it's easier for Nicolas Cage to play John Travolta than it is.
Yes,
I don't know. I don't know if it's easier because I've never acted. I don't know if it's easier to play someone that's mental. I would find it harder to play someone straight and get their mannerisms.
Yeah, probably.
Because, like, that's when a... Because John Travolta does an amazing
version
of Nicolas Cage. And Nicolas Cage in the first 20 minutes when he's allowed to be the baddie is, like, he proper goes... Like,
He didn't give him an easy job.
John Travolta must have been sitting there going, you want to calm it down a bit here? For Christ's sake, you're dancing as a priest and then touching up a choir, like a carol singer. Like, it makes no...
Holy music. I mean, they really ran the town on church and religion in it. I'll go back to that later, but... What the head spin? Honestly, if I was a Premiership footballer, I feel like that would be my...
Oh,
I would do that as my signature celebration. Shout out to Nicolas Cage. It's amazing.
But
the choir girl, it just...
Because they plant...
Surely you would see that too if you were in the crowd.
Why are none of the rest of the carols... Why is the guy that's conducting the choir not going... Why is there a priest touching up? a young choir singer that's fucking, and she's like proper up, she's like 20 years younger than him, and she spots him and she's just so overcome by his charisma that
he doesn't even, he's had better hair as well,
offers up her arse for him.
Just because he came up and went, God, this fucking sucks. God, this singing fucking sucks. That's so good. What an opening scene between that kid dead and then showing him as like an introduction to his character in the most insane way possible.
And then because the reason he's there is he plants a bomb that's going to blow up LA, right? But have you ever seen a bomb that's been, because when he puts the timer on, it's got something like 363 hours left. You're like, what? Why not wait a couple of days? Like, why does this need to be done now? 363 hours, and then there's a
sure
clock
hope we don't
going,
get cut.
Like,
what a ridiculous, what an outrageous. I feel like that's what he just like. For anyway, this film doesn't make sense. We need to put him 4.5 months on the bomb.
Oh, and so. Because it leads from that into him, John Travolta is still John Travolta at this point.
Yeah.
Catches him.
Yeah.
In a big, massive shootout at an airport.
Like, obviously, we go through the things and there's some unbelievably mental John Woosh type, hard-boiled type shootouts. But the fact that he's taken out... Well, first of all, he executes the woman that sucks his tongue. So this is still like
a proper, because he's obsessed with horses as well. Like that's his the peach. He constantly goes on about eating a peach, just basically eating someone's arse.
I don't, because I've seen this film loads, right? But for some reason, when I rewatched it, I don't remember how brutal the execution was, because he shoots her in the head and then just fucks her underneath the plane wheels.
And she gets crushed by the plane, I know.
They all pull up, right, and whatever. And then, you know, they stop the plane, whatever, shoot the... He executes the fucking pilot for no reason, too. And then tries to steer the plane, but he just steers... He's not going up. He just steers it into a hangar.
Yeah.
But then, like, you think, wow, what a wild explosion.
Because Travolta lands the helicopter on
the
flap things on the top of it, yeah.
Outrageous.
But that they did that... I was reading about that. They did that because they didn't have... Because it wasn't made for that much. They didn't have a huge budget.
Oh, really?
Okay. And they crashed that plane for real. Like, they had one plane. And John Woo just went, right, we're going to have to get it because we're crashing a plane into a building here. And this is the only plane. It's the only plane we've got. It's the only fucking building we've got. So if we don't get this...
It just has to be right. I love that. I love shit like that. You know, I love some of the directors. George Miller was always doing that with Mad Max. He's like, we're going to blow it to pieces. No, I know, like, people are like, Christopher Nolan's like, I'm going to use a real bomb and
Yeah.
Like, we've got one shot. Like, what happens when you fuck it? Well, you better not fuck this.
Oh.
And then, you know, like, you're like, wow, what a massive crash. And then he just fucking dives out with the two guns. He dives out the cockpit and, like, dives out the thing. Opening fire. He kills so many people there.
He's got two golden guns. Made of gold. And he's got a wee money clip that's a golden dragon. It's just like...
So fucking amazing. His brother as well. I never fucking knows because I know that actor. He's quite good in things.
His brother's called Bollock.
Yeah.
Bollock Troy.
I presume when you said him, Bollock Cage. Also, his name's Caster Troy, but Troy Caster.
Yeah.
Troy Caster makes more sense to me. But, you know, Alessandro Nivola, I've seen him in a lot of things.
He who plays Pollux, Troy? Is he plays brother? Yeah.
You know,
he's
Billy in Jurassic Park 3.
Is he?
Remember Billy gets taken away with the pterodactyls?
The brother annoys the piss out of me, if I'm honest with you.
He's usually much better. He's actually quite a good actor, and then that is such a stupid character.
Because they make him slightly disabled. And he's got a weird foot. There's a bit where, because when he gets jumped in the prison, and by this point, John Travolta is Nicolas Cage.
Yes.
The character. And he's trying to find out, and he's kind of going, how come that big guy jumped me? And it kind of goes, like going, oh, you had a sick sandwich with his wife and his sister. And you're like, why are you getting such a whiny voice for?
Well, that explains it. Well, that also, so he's trying to, whatever, infiltrate that shit. The prison.
Wow.
What kind of a fucking, like, it's quite out there in terms of, like, it's kind of almost sci-fi half of it. Obviously, you know, the swapping the faces, obviously, is quite a fucking thing. But, like, the prison with him, this whole prison's a magnet. We're in international water, so basically I can do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
Big, what do you call him? Big John Carroll. I remember that actor, but he's good.
He's it's on an oil rig. Essentially, it's an underwater prison.
Yeah, yeah.
That they've got metal boots.
Underwater
that they can,
magnet prison.
A magnet prison, yeah, because they've got boots that they can't move. They can lock them down immediately. And what? Because the main crux of the whole thing is to find this bomb. The only way they can find it, I don't think they try hard enough. Like
to
like they go very quickly from, we've got no choice, to the only choice being you're gonna slice my face off and replace it with the guy who killed my kids. First of all, why the fuck you're keeping him alive? So I'm raging about that.
Yeah.
And now I have to swap faces with him in a surgery that at that point no one knew was possible.
Oh, I did. They just like it's the newest. It's the biggest technology. You know. It's like whatever you do, make sure you put that scar back, because
yeah,
it reminds me of the time my child died.
But they go so quickly from, he kind of goes, right, this can't be the only option. Let me speak to the gang members.
Yeah, yeah.
And that takes about an afternoon. And then he goes, well, I've got no other choice. Yeah. Like,
by Tuesday, the Tuesday after 9/11, they're like, right, we're going to have to get, we're going to have to get an Al-Qaeda dude. We're going to cut off his face and put yours on it. Surely there's...
there must be some other way. Nope, that's it. That's our only options now. I'm sorry.
Does that technology even exist? We know a guy. You know, yeah, we've been waiting. No way.
They don't even search buildings.
Oh, I
know. You're kind of going, it's going to be somewhere big.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
So just
yeah.
Search. If it's going to be a bomb that's going to destroy the entire city, put everyone on it.
Yeah, it's going to be a big part of the city.
Take fucking bus drivers, everyone. Just search everywhere for a bomb big enough to blow up an entire city. Because we know it's still got 982 minutes left, so let's not...
That's right. He's got 4.5 months to find it. Fucking unbelievable. I love the way, by the way, his golden guns are down, I always think, in a really awkward position. Because he's got them, like, tucked that way. Like, if you really had to get them quick, you'd be like...
Yeah.
It's not, you know, it's not
getting,
like...
Getting a cramp in your shoulder. Oh,
fucking dislocating arm, trying to get a fucking pull the two guns out.
I quite like the operation bit.
That was pretty good. That
I mean,
pretty...
it is mental. But because I researched whether this is now possible, and it is. There's a guy who had it done. I don't know what he had, like an incredibly bad accident, like some kind of fucking.
and let me guess, he got John Travolta's face put on. I didn't mean that specific.
But yeah, apparently you can get a full facial reconstruction now.
Okay, right.
So you can get a full figure. I don't think it's possible to swap faces. And there's a lot of stuff about it that you're kind of going...
Oh, we just attach
ligaments. When they take John Travolta's face off, they just seem to put it in a bucket of water and just let it bobble about. There doesn't seem to be anything keeping it alive. Like keeping the nerves going. It's just bobbing about and...
Look like one of those masks you get at the opera.
And when they're doing it, they get a fucking hairdresser in.
Oh, he starts cutting his hair. Short back and sides while you're at it. Like, you know, what a great hairdresser if you managed to get a guy to make your hair look like Nicolas Cage's there. Because it's not like, it's not actually a haircut.
No.
It's just like a balding dude.
It's just, yeah.
That's a good hairdresser.
Because they say that they're gonna cut his hair and then for like, because Nicolas Cage is hairier, they're going to plug like body hair into him.
Yes. Right. Yes.
And later on, which is we're going to get to, which is sinister, the fact that when Nicolas Cage is now John Travolta, and then he goes home and pretends to be him in his house and shags his wife. Yeah. Right? Does he get his cock?
I know you're going there. Oh, did you get circumcised today?
Exactly. Because that would be the ultimate, the immediate give. Because you could go, yeah, I've been working out, I've lost a few pounds, but you can't add. You can't add. Like imagine if Nicolas Cage, if he's fucking packed.
They're like, oh my God, I hope. She's, what did you get done? What happened? How'd you lose? You seem to have lost 4 inches, but. But you still got the top.
But I'm a better husband.
Oh, God. It's such a sinister, fucked up thing now. I don't know if it's like a. I reckon at that time you're like, God, that's an awful thing to happen. That's an awful scene and an awful. I just don't know if they'd make it now. I don't think penny people would be as comfortable with her.
There's a bit
it's
in
just
it.
It's just basically rape.
There's a bit in it where. When he goes into the prison, and he finds out really quickly where the bomb is, because that's why he goes in to find out from Bollock Troy where the bomb is, and he gives it up immediately. Yeah. He basically goes, it was a work of art, it belongs in the Louvre. Yeah, well, such a shame, it's just going to be in the LA Convention Centre, and he just goes, cheers for that. I've been in here half an hour and you've already told me, you stupid cunt.
Out. Everyone, get me out.
And then when he's getting released, by this point, Nicolas Cage has woke up from a coma without a face, and then makes a phone call without a face, and then comes in, basically phones his henchman and says, right, here's where I am, gather up these lads. They gather up the doctor, and he comes in, and he's sitting there having a fag with no face. Just like, just cutting him out with no face on.
That would be petrifying. That must have been that guy's worst day at work, that doctor. Oh. Not even what happened after. He burned them alive.
Just
petrolled them all up.
Because they burn everyone that knows about the mission. And then that what I was going to say was, because then when...
A lot of dominoes had to fall in place.
When Travolta... who is now Nicolas Cage, is expecting to get out of the underwater prison. He then sees Nicolas Cage, who's now Travolta, walk in. And I was trying to think, I don't think I have ever seen anyone that would be more gutted in a film than when he goes, when he realizes, when he says, I'm just going to go home, I'm just going to home and bang your wife. Right? And then he goes, I'm banging your wife, probably your daughter as well. Yeah. And you just see his face go, oh no, this is literally the worst thing that could possibly happen to anyone in the world.
That actually is,
because no one knows I'm here. I'm stuck in an underwater prison with a fucking massive guy that I've just started a fight with, right? And this lad... is waiting my job, pump my wife, and potentially my daughter. The same guy who killed my son.
Yeah. That's a world terrorist.
How much more can I take?
He did have a real bad day. He must have been like, I sure fucking knew this is a stupid plan. How easily it all backfired. It doesn't even...
Fucking knew I shouldn't open up an umbrella indoors.
What did he do in a past life? Because fuck me. Oh, God. All his henchmen, by the way, in the film had chopsticks. Did you notice that?
No.
Loads of them are tuned chopsticks. They had sunglasses and tuned. I was like, what is it about fucking tuned chopsticks that make people look hard? Because I don't think any other personal hygiene would make anyone look hard.
No. What are you talking about? Chopsticks?
You tuned chopsticks, like looking hard in the
background. That's not a chopstick. It's a toothpick. A chopstick? What, you eat Chinese food?
I was like, with dental hygiene, you're like, a chopstick? How big is his teeth? John Woo, you never know.
Even if you're the hardest henchman in the world, someone's, you chewing a chopstick. Chopsticks are about that size. Just hanging out. What?
They were not chewing chopsticks. What a tragic mistake to make. The fact you were like, were they, you were like, they were people in the film were chewing chopsticks.
Oh, fucking
hell. Oh, my God.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, then, toothpicks. What is it about henchmen? I can't even do this anymore. It's like, they're all chewing chopsticks, yeah. Are you sure, Ryan? They were, every one of them. But I mean, you couldn't think of the hardest man, you know. You couldn't, like, just...
He's
brushing his teeth's not going to be that
present. He's henchman. It's a weird bit where he's a big bald dude.
Oh, right.
He's like the main kind of...
He starts a fight
with the guy that you told me on the way over here was in The Wire.
Yeah. I noticed his face and was like, oh my God, I know that face. And I started Googling it and it was...
Yeah.
It was
who also... He's hated this guy for years because when he was sent to the underwater prison, he pumped his wife and his sister in the same session.
Yeah.
And then all it takes is for him to go, by the way, I didn't do that. And he just goes, all right, I believe you. And then helps him escape. And then when he gets on top of the... He gets on top of the oil rig. And I thought initially, because I remembered it being... well out at sea where he goes, well, there's no way. And then a helicopter comes, so I was like, damn, misremember this, where he steals the helicopter. But no, he's fucking launched it and decides to swim. He's with metal boots on, he swims to shore.
Like literal weights. The biggest of weights. It's such a fucking ridiculous...
Some leg strength in that boy.
Imagine that, he came out of the ocean with just like fucking thighs, like one of those fucking Olympic fucking Hoy. What do you call him?
Chris Hoy.
Chris Hoy. Thighs like Chris Hoy came out of the water. That's the first giveaway. Fuck, you didn't have them thighs.
Exactly.
Needle dick and massive thighs. What's going on here? You've done something.
She just thinks it's a perspective issue. I mean, it's the same dick, but his thighs are so massive now that they just look tiny.
It'd be funny if one of them had an absolute shite arse. Not even dick. I don't know, your fucking jeans look terrible on you all of a sudden. It's just like, I don't know if they explained it, but like Drudgeville's got a massive head. Because I know there's cutting up faces and attaching it and all that, but was it, like, Cage has got quite a pinhead.
Yeah.
John Travolta's got, as we said, like in Independence Day, a presidential head.
He does have a presidential head. He's got a strong chin.
A strong chin, yeah. Oh, there's parts where he kept having to, like, abuse himself, Travolta.
Yeah, saying he's got a...
ridiculous...
Yeah.
I've got a ridiculous chin.
Do you know how they did the... they built two life-size models, rubber models of the two of them, so they could do the... face transplant scene.
Oh, I thought they would have just had some sort of...
Because like, none of it's CGI in this film. Absolutely, fucking great. I mean, absolutely like, none of... Like, all the stunts are done as stunts. At points, you can tell it's clearly stuntmen.
Yeah, because
they look fuck all like...
I never noticed.
Nicolas Cage or Travolta. I noticed it at the end when they fight in the boat. There's a bit where they get... They crash into something and they both get launched.
Yeah.
And then two guys come across that look so unlike them, it's unreal. Just a guy with a massive cock. Tiny thighs. Like, come on, yeah. Where's the continuity?
Simone, dude.
they made two rubber models of them.
That's
so
amazing.
that they could actually cut them up and take the faces off.
That's amazing. That's great. I thought it was going to be like something like they just put an extra layer on like that.
I like the bit. I think the bit's cool where he starts, where he's been given Nicolas Cage's face and he starts speaking and it's his voice.
And
then he's got like a wee voice box in his throat and he has to jiggle it about and he starts becoming... I thought that was cool.
You think the first thing he would have done though is like whatever, the slightest of smacks here will...
Yeah.
As soon as everybody was like, hang on, you just go... Look, listen to me.
Yeah.
But anyway, when he first sees his face, is Nicolas Cage and starts freaking out, which you would. Mm. He starts going like, fuck you. Fuck you.
Yeah.
Fuck you. And that was the start of his very bad day.
Yeah. And then when Travolta comes out, he goes to the henchman, the old chopstick chewing henchman.
Fuck. But at this
point, they've just got fucking 2x4s in their mouth and their chin.
The wood keeps getting bigger. Baseball bats. You know, the henchmen keep chewing baseball bats in the background. Like, what are you talking about?
Because that's a proper John Woo scene where they attack the henchman's house.
Oh, yes, yes.
He goes there, he goes to the bald dudes, and then they immediately start tanning drugs.
Yeah.
But so he asks her, he gets mezcal. So I thought is that not a drink?
Yeah.
Because then he pours something in it.
I saw that, yeah.
And they get fucked up immediately.
Yeah.
Like, it's like the fastest hitting drug I've ever seen.
He falls off the bed, funnily.
Yeah, and then he was like, what are we going to do when we catch him? And he's like, I'm going to take his face off. And he's like, what the fuck are you talking about? Take this. And he was like, all off, take the face off. And he's like, take the face off. And he's like, no more drugs for that man.
Do you know, like, that John Woo, when you said it's a proper John Woo, but John Woo's thing is, it's only machine guns, nearly always, and you have to hit everything first before the guy.
Everyone has two guns as well.
Everybody has at least two guns. There's bits of wood fucking everywhere. You know, shit has to be flying. People are flying through the air and being shot in midair.
It was never, because I always knew, I hadn't seen a huge amount of John Woo stuff, but because he's a big fan of slow motion.
Yeah, yeah. Right? And Payne movies.
I never realised how much of a fan, because I like slow motion in an action scene. But there's a scene where someone hands over a floppy disk and it's in slow motion. You're like, this is really over-egging it here. Like, there's a guy gets out a car in slow motion at one point.
I think what John Woo is, the way I describe him, is a better Michael Bay.
Yeah.
Like, Michael Bay's all ridiculous and they're not as fun films. And, you know, he does the slow motion stuff, like getting up in slow motion and Bad Boys and everything. John Woo does everything, like, just a little bit more violent and fun. But that's the way I would do it. Like,
he uses birds a lot as well.
Jesus Christ.
The church at the end. Right. What kind of scabby church is this? Because, see if it was some. Like, because this guy's the head of the FBI, right? That gets murdered. So Travolta murders
Lazaro.
Okay, Cage as Travolta murders him, so he can become the head of the FBI.
Sorry, by the way, just while you're doing it, he does chop him. He kind of like he sees he's like struggling
because
he's
having a heart attack, and then he just chops him and like kills his heart immediately. But then, surely there would be some examination.
There's
going,
bound to be.
Why the fuck's he got a massive bruise over his heart? Like.
Have smothered him.
But his funeral, right? So this is a guy that's head of the FBI.
Yeah.
So quite an important player in law enforcement in America.
Yeah.
Yet there's only about 12 cunts at his funeral, and it's on a beach. It's the kind of place a Love Island contestant would get married. It's in a shack on the beach. And for some reason, it's just populated by doves. There's doves shitting everywhere. Like, when the ceremony's going on, there's just fucking doves walking up and down the aisle.
That's right, yeah. When the scun started as well, they were all still there. When they came back outside, and they opened fire and there was more doves flying between them. Kept throwing everyone off. People are trying to shit and there's like doves in their face. I know, you usually use a quote as well for the name of the episodes, but it's got to be Papa's Got a Brand New Bag.
Oh, it's so, like, there's so many bits when he's at home.
Oh, God, when he's
so sinister.
With a daughter, when he goes, hello. What did he say when he first sees the daughter? Well, this has added a new.
This is taking a twist or something. Because he just sees her arse, and you're like, oh no, man. But I did like the bit when the daughter came home,
and he dragged him out of the car.
Aye, because that was my. Remember, I said to you on Independence Day, I was going to try and find a horny wee guy in every film.
Yeah, yeah.
So I missed it. I missed it with the Breakfast Club, but we kind of mentioned it. The bit where. Anthony Michael Hall, who plays the geeky guy Brian, he gets a hard on, and Allison is staring at him, And he can see him strip, and then he grabs his hat just to cover up his boner. So he's the horny wee guy from Breakfast Club.
Right.
And in this film, it's the guy in the car. Because he doesn't even like park at the end of the street. He pulls into the fucking drive. And she's like, my dad's in. And he goes, he doesn't even care about you anyway. And then he gets dragged out of the way. Travolta just boots the window in.
It was amazing. It was quite a violent drag. Yeah. I was like, fuck, I didn't expect. Boots him in the balls, end up against the car. Yeah. And then gives her a switchblade, doesn't
gives
he?
Gives her the coolest switchblade ever.
He regrets that later, but you mustn't know when he's like, you're going to see some changes around here.
Yeah.
Lighting a fag with her. Pap's got a brand new bag. Fucking ridiculous. Do you know if I was, I think a sinister thing to do, you know, if I was like in the house, I'd do stuff like fuck up his taxes.
reset his PIN code. He'll never get that.
Fucking, yeah, sorry to just cancel taxes. Yeah.
Start subscribing to mailing lists. This will piss him off.
That'd be so. Then, like, he'd be like, after death, Travolta be back, and he goes, well, he still find ways to enjoy. Okay. First, he kills my son, and now my wheelie bins are all fucked. I don't know how he got so much food to put in the fucking green bin.
I've got a subscription to a beer club. I can't get out of it.
We'd signed up.
This evil bastard.
For 95 weeks of HelloFresh.
Oh, God.
And that's the real terrorism on all of this. Imagine seeing someone in real life laughing the way Nicolas Cage laughed in that film in the various scenes, like proper.
He's got some bizarre.
Also, how fuck? Remember when he was like doing the eyes kind of like opened really wide, and he turns around and sees the woman that was banging the terrorist, and she just takes it like,
yeah.
She didn't really react that badly to it. Like, are you fucking mental? It's like the alien or the fucking Men in Black when it's stretching.
Yeah, because she reveals that that's his kid. She's got a 5-year-old, and she said, "This is yours, Castor."
Keep hugging it, going.
Because that scene's cool as, like with the kid. Because the kid, they put the earphones in the kid, and he listens to Somewhere Over the Rainbow.
Oh, aye.
While mayhem's happening around him, and the kid's so calm about it. Like,
he gets most of his colleagues as well get shot up during that.
Yeah,
you know, I'll get to the, you're right. I'll get to the kid. Fuck it. We'll stick with the kid, right? Because I think the funniest fucking scene in the world is the last scene. When he comes back home, it's all over. And he opens up the door, you know, and the wife and the kid are there. And he's like, listen, and here's, the, you know, his mother dies or whatever. And he's like, and here's the kid. We, you know, he needs somewhere to live. Yeah. Can you imagine the wife was like, get that fucker out. Get that fucking cunt out.
Look at the age of me. I can't be raising a 5-year-old.
He gets rid of his scar. He's just basically, the ending is basically, forget about my real son. Fuck it. I'll take the terrorist's son.
I thought of something really bleak that could have happened. He gets his face back. He gets his actual face back. So by the end, it's Travolta in Travolta's body and face.
Yeah.
And then he obviously brings this kid who's replacing his son. I would have loved it if they demanded that they dig the dead son up and do the surgery on this new kid as well.
Change the faces.
Give him a bigger cock. Get a bigger cock.
But even funnier, the face is badly decayed. Does the guy run out?
Doesn't matter.
Just stick it on, will you? And there's a body in the grave with a perfect face and everything else is... Everything else is perfect.
Just a skeleton with a full face.
Skeleton, full face in there. It's like, well, like, you could have kept the face in case. You keep it in that fucking little water tank you had for the rest of it. You didn't have to put it on the skeleton. Yeah, they were. But also, the wife, he didn't even run that by the family. He was like, here we go.
Aye.
And this kid's got somewhere to live. They're like, well, first of all, we've one bedroom.
Exactly. Yeah.
So she found you buying a new house. He's like, all right, you had a bad day. Can you just leave me
a remarkably small house for a man so high up in the FBI?
I felt that too. Yeah. I'm not saying it's a small house for him.
In his possession.
I also love the, you know, I was saying they're disrespecting the church, first of all, with the grab in the arse thing, but you know, when he's like waiting for him to arrive, basically, and he comes in going, ah, someone man no nore. I was like, that's the most fucking outrageous. I'd love to turn up to a funeral like that.
Oh, God.
Do you know the most brutal kill? The last thing I will say about this is the most brutal kill, right? Is that during the final scenes when he's like, before they get on the speedboat, there's a part when he goes to hijack the speedboat. The first time that he just like the owner of the speedboat from close range gets an entire Uzi clipped emptied on him. Like the guy's just reason. Having a day.
I know.
He could just kick them off, couldn't even get off of it. Just went.
It just kills so randomly. It's like,
it's such a brutal random. That dude's like, you know, they're going to get like, what happened? Your father's been killed. What happened? He's on his boat and the world's biggest terrorist showed up to hijack it. Shot him 50 times from point blank range.
Why was he at the boat? He was taking a wedding couple. You know that chapel? You know the bird chapel? For some reason, they love doves. So.
What a film.
What I was going to ask you before, see if you had to swap faces with anyone in the world, who would you swap with?
Oh, let me think. Samuel L. Jackson.
It's bold.
Is he? What's that? Is there something wrong there? Everything's wrong. Literal blackface. No, I don't know. I think it'd be someone. I'd choose Cilla Black.
So someone dead. Someone dead and not of the same sex.
Man, I would get a job at Blind Date.
I think I'd choose someone that people wouldn't suspect that would be about. Do you know what I mean? Like, not like a, not someone dead, but someone who's been jailed for a long time that would.
So, like a
Gary Glitter or something. Do you know, because if you were caught up out with it and folk would go, is that, no, it can't be, he's fucking locked up. It really does look like him though, like.
He's on the stand.
Is he, was he pushing a kid in the swings? Surely can't be, he wouldn't be allowed to do that. That's, why would he be in Glasgow anyway?
There's no ankle bracelet. I'm sure there's somebody on top of this. You get Gary, Gary Glitter has to wear your face, see? He's just sitting at home going, how's it in actual house arrest? How's this legal?
This has given me, this film has also, before we stop, has given me an idea for a Patreon episode.
Okay.
And eventually do one, right? I've got an idea where we are not going to swap faces, but we're going to swap acts. For one night at Red Rock.
Oh my God.
We'll have to go on and do each other's act.
That'd be excellent.
Yeah.
Face off. Perfect, I'm in. That'll be great. Oh, that'll be great. That'll be devastating though if I do your material and it's just like, I've never had a reaction like
that. You've got to murder me something.
Like fucking hell. That's an all-timer there. That is a face off. You can't beat that one.
Right. Is that us? I think
we're yes, that is us. You have
a next week. See if you go over there. I think
I did this the last time where I didn't have the fucking thing beside
it. Mine is sitting there in that it's in that plastic Tesco bag that we bought. There we go. So next week we are doing the early 2000s Tom Green comedy Road Trip. Yeah. And not just Road Trip, the unseen and explicit version. What you didn't see at the cinema. So we're going dark.
What could it be?
next one. I am fairly certain this is going to be one of those films like Scary Movie. That's that going we watch it and go, Jesus Christ.
Nothing has...
This is insane.
Yeah, nothing. That I can tell that's going to age worse than fucking Citizen Kane.
The only thing I remember about this film is Stifler getting a finger up his arse.
He goes
at some point to get a... He doesn't even go get a prostate exam. He goes to donate sperm. And he's... a nurse comes along and goes... I'm giving away the rest of the... And nurse comes along and goes, he goes, I could do with some help. So she immediately goes, I can do that. And then just finger in his arm.
What? Is this the one? If it's the right film because there's Eurotrip and stuff too. Is this the one where he eats a mouse?
Yes. Yeah.
That is the only thing I remember.
Yeah.
That I was like, and I don't even remember, but I'm something about eating a mouse.
Yeah, I've
There you go. Fuck it out. I look forward to it.
Thanks again for all getting in touch on various social medias. Absolute Cuts at Twitter and Instagram. Keep the reviews coming.
Yeah, push it up. Tell your friends. You can tell it, even if you haven't even seen the film, you can tell it mostly it is complete fucking nonsense.
We were the 195th biggest comedy podcast
in the world.
For a couple of, ever. Ever made.
Of all time.
It's so weird, that thing. I've been looking at it because I've put us in the categories. I've put us in as comedy and stand up.
Yeah,
and stand up were fucking ripping it.
Oh really?
Oh my god, we were the fourth biggest in Ireland at one point. The fourth biggest stand up.
That's depressing. I can name the other three, I suppose.
Genuinely mental.
Great.
So yeah, keep doing that. You can go to, all the links will be on all the pages. So if you want to buy tickets to see either of us, then go there. Fringe tickets are very, very much available.
Yeah, yeah.
We've recorded these episodes because I'm not going on holiday yet.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going on holiday after the next one.
Yeah, yeah.
Aye.
We had a double episode there, Mark. Mark's going like, here's the timeline.
Yeah, you've no idea. Like, we're basically recording these all at once. So, but like, this is literal lies.
Close off.
But see us next week for Unseen and Explicit Road Trip. Cheers.